Welcome to Gordon School's first podcast. A little intro. First of all, Mr. King is here with us. Hello, Mr. King. How are you?
Ms. Harrison, how are you, sir? You well?
All very good, thank you. And we're very pleased to be joined by first Hannah in year 13, who is co-captain of the first 11 hockey team, and also Chris Johnson, who's captain of our first 15 rugby team. So guys, firstly, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedules to see us and speak to us today. Obviously, we're doing this over Zoom. We can't be in the same room. And the first topic we probably have to talk about is lockdown and life in lockdown. So over to you guys. How are we finding life in lockdown?
I think it's okay. I mean, as far as the work-life balance goes, the life part is a lot less interesting than we used to. But I quite like the slower pace of life in some respects.
40-minute lessons are better than the 55.
Oh, definitely. Earlier lunch.
What about life? The life side of it all? Is that pretty challenging? Or obviously socialising, things you're missing? How are you finding that? How the, you know, Zoom quizzes and things like that, how are they going?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interactions, obviously everyone's missing the interactions, whether it's friends, family, just, you know, it's nice to be in school for as much as we possibly could be. But obviously it's a bit hard when it's just your family, getting a bit stuck, brothers and sisters sort of stuff. But a couple of fights every now and then. But yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, hopefully we'll get it back soon. But I quite like the routine and the flexibility just generally in lockdown. Obviously, you've got the lessons that have been cut short. But yeah, it's a bit more, you can get a bit of structure to your day as well.
Can I ask Hannah and Chris, just in terms of, you know, if we were to go back and put the time we've got now into what we knew 18 months ago, is there anything you've learned now that maybe you could put back into 18 months ago and think, actually, that's a great idea. I wish I'd have put that into my school or study beforehand. Is there anything you think you could use again?
I think that I've sort of learned to stop trying to control everything as much, and like when things can't have as much of a plan, it's kind of easier to get things done, I think, because you can sort of adapt to doing things in a certain way, which sometimes when I feel like, oh, I'm not sticking to my plan, then I'm just like, oh, I might as well not do anything. But now I kind of have more time to think, oh, it's fine, I'll do something. It doesn't have to be done in the way that I planned originally.
Yeah, I think it's very true. Being flexible and adaptable is so key at the moment. And I'm very much a man that likes a plan, and I'm a bit of a control freak at times. And so,
You love a list, don't you?
I do like a list and ticking things off. So, and it has been a way to sort of find different ways of getting over the challenges and finding different ways of a new plan and the new normal, which is a phrase that we've all come to know, but it definitely is true.
I think Hannah hit it there as well, is the almost controlling the controllables and just letting everything else do. You're doing as much as you can do. And, you know, there's those uncontrollables you can't control. No one wants to be in a lockdown. You want to be playing tomorrow. You want to be training with all your friends, but you've still got to continue to do what you're doing, put yourself in the best preparation that you can, even if it is going to be however long it's going to be when we return, in months, years, whatever it is. And hopefully not years, but you know, you get the gist. But you just gotta keep doing your own thing and trying to improve every day.
Which sounds like you had a wonderful sports psychology A-level teacher.
Oh yes, I've been taking a couple of notes.
How have you been feeling the downtime that you've had?
Mostly training, a bit of relaxing, you know. Obviously it's nice to disconnect every now and then. I find it's sometimes harder to work at home, but then it's easier to disconnect. So it has its pros and cons. Yeah, I've been trying to train mostly two times a day.
Yeah.
With early 8 a.m. and p.m. sessions. So it's just having that nice structure with obviously the break of a bit of school in between. And then yeah, just chilling after that really.
Nice.
And can I ask, are you getting the training from yourself, Chris, or are you following programs and people?
Yeah, obviously we've got IS&C plan coming out, some fitness and stuff, but from obviously our IS&C coach. I've added some of my own stuff in, a bit of skills, a bit more fitness, and yeah, just keep topping it up and adding different bits in that we can.
Kingy, what's going on in your household? How have you been feeling the free time?
Yeah, we're good. So usual family run on Saturday. It was very insane. All four of us went for a family run. My boy, only 5 years old, managed to run 6K. So very pleased with that, non-stop. And as you know, my daughter, yeah, she loves to run, very competitive. So she wanted to go faster. It's nice for actually the lockdown period. Usually on Saturday afternoon, I'll be playing sport myself or watching sport. But actually to have that family time is really good to have that. I was going back to my question earlier, just setting yourself a target, a weekend, a plan, and then you've just got more time to do things is a lot better. I think obviously it has lots of family walks, but time with the family has been very nice for us all. Nice to see them play more sport than I would have done most weekends, really.
That's nice. Any new hobbies, guys? Anything that you've thought of maybe pushed aside because you've been busy with schoolwork and things like that, anything that you picked up? I've tried, you know, really hard to get into cooking, and I've done a little bit of art as well, if I was, you know, Yeah, all right, Chris.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
those are two things that I've looked at and thought actually, what I can, and listening to podcasts and things like that as well. Which sort of anything you guys have got into?
Well, I like to set myself like little challenges. So for January, I did Veganuary. So I did a lot of like cooking and like finding recipes. And I also set myself, as soon as Boris made the announcement, I was like, I'm going to do a half marathon.
Just so you did. Congratulations.
Well done, Hannah.
So, go on. Veganuary, how was that? Was that so no meat, everything gone? And...
Yeah, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was because obviously I had so much time to think about things and I was able to cook like everything myself. Like in normal life, I'd probably find it quite challenging, but it was quite nice to have that extra time to think about that.
And do you think you could do that for longer? So that in, or is that where you're sort of end of the month, you're like, yes, now I can?
Well, today was my first day of not being vegan. So yeah. I've already made cookies. So, but it's something that I would look to maybe when I go to university and I have a bit more control over my own food.
Yeah. And do you feel better for it? You feel healthier for it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Very good.
Easier to get shopping or is it just pain? Because...
Well, I think in January there's loads of stuff in the shops because it's like kind of a big thing in January. But I just added things to my shopping, to my mum's shopping list. And
oh, good, know. Hannah. Good. Going to the supermarket's like going to royalty now, anyway, isn't it? A day out is going to the supermarket. I was chatting to my class earlier about it and how someone's highlight was going to Waitrose in Bagshot yesterday. So when our life starts to get that, it's, you know, it just shows that cooking is something that a lot of people are taking up. So, and I know. You're very good at a Wagamama's meal, so I hear.
Yeah, I was trying. So I was looking for Christmas to get. Maybe they knew that lockdown was coming. The Wagamama's cookbook. So I've been trying a few dishes of that. And so some of the ingredients are quite niche, though. Quite hard to get the ingredients. I've spent a lot of my time getting the steps up in the supermarkets, walking up and down the aisles to try and find, you know, these niche.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good. I did dry January. I did dry January, so that was quite challenging. But it was good. I completed it, which is nice. And so. Into February and when we go, so no, it's been good. I think it's good.
You're a katsu curry man, aren't you, sir?
Big katsu curry fan, sir. And if I'm honest, the school does it very well, so I don't have to cook that. But yeah, something different at the moment.
Good.
We're obviously sportsmen and women around this virtual talk. So, what does sport mean to you guys, Hannah, Chris? You know, both scholars here. Why have you followed it so much? Why are you studying it for A level? Why have you pushed on so much in it?
Oh, I think it's always been a part of my life. It's never sort of been a I'm going to start doing sport now. I've sort of grown up around it. Grown up in it, I've always been pretty competitive. That winning side of it, always wanted to be the top dog wherever it was. So I think, obviously, as you grow up, more opportunities come and you can apply different things you learn that you, I believe, that you can learn in sport where you weren't learning anything anywhere else. The communication, leadership, just general teamwork, those sort of skills, they're just... There's sort of things I don't really think you can learn unless you're in that sort of environment. And I enjoy that, apply it to everyday life. And it's interesting in the classroom as well. You're able to apply what you learn to your performances, your training, and yeah, try and improve.
What's your earliest memory, Chris, of playing sport? Was it running down the wing, big, you know, swan dive, score winning try for your primary school? What can you remember?
Oh, earliest. Well, I'd probably say year three. First time I picked up a rugby ball, actually no idea. Did the classic forward pass straight away. but mainly for club, it was turned up at the wrong place. It was actually, I turned up to Gordon's here because he had the seniors training them here.
Yeah.
And we stupidly thought, instead of being minis, we were the... I was like, no, I can't be a mini, surely. That's got to be under sixes, under fours sort of stuff. So it's rocked up here, some big 18-year-old lads. I was about, what, 10, 11? And I was like, I don't know. Then we went to the actual club, started training, and yeah, it took off from there, really.
Good man. Hannah, what about you? What sport then for you?
It's kind of the same as Chris. Like, it's just my family are all really into sport. It's just something that I've grown up around and kind of naturally came into more. Like, I started playing hockey in about year four or five, and it was after I'd seen it at the London Olympics. So I was really keen to, like, give it a go. And, it just became something I was passionate about. And the more I did it, the more I wanted to be better at it, really. And I think, like, the more work you put into something, like, you get more passionate about it. And then that discipline that you gain is kind of applicable to the rest of my life, whether that's, like, A-levels or anything, really.
Yeah, I suppose discipline of, like, you know, you're setting that January target of being vegan for that. That's giving you discipline to fulfil that.
Go back to stories of competitiveness. This weekend, probably not great parenting, but every Saturday afternoon I must get competitive. I must have some sport. So come 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, we went to Cheltenham, sir. Actually, we went to Doncaster. I'm sorry, we went to Doncaster. I took my kids racing on television, sir. But I think it's good maths for my children to work out odds. I'll just share this story that I said to them, you've got £1 each to have a bet on any horse in the 4:20 at Doncaster. And they came out and went, marshmallow. So we like marshmallows. A bet on marshmallow? I said, okay. I said, £1 bet on my app. 20-1. I was like, I'll just go with it. Only come up trumps.
Did it?
He won by 2 lengths.
The question is, though, did you tell them the actual proper maths of how much they won? They said, well, you know, it's...
Yeah, they did. So they did work it out at being £10 each. I said to Mrs. King, I said, look, every Saturday afternoon, even expecting my age, I've got to have a bit of a sport fix. May it be watching, may it be playing. And going back to what Chris and Hannah rightly said, I think it's just embedded in you that, like you, sir, like us, Saturday afternoon is sport time. And irrespective if you're playing still, or you're watching results come in, you're watching it on horse racing, I think it's something you'll never lose. And that's what I've missed probably the most, is that competitive side, that thrill of winning and losing, and even making a mistake sometimes and learning from it. I think that's the toughest thing. If I could just chuck a question into these two, sir, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, for Sir and I, we often still talk about how our upper sixth and year 13 days were some of our best school sports days. I mean, how is it living in the moment, you two, that you were, you know, the top dogs in your sports, as you said here? How is that feeling? Because I can't quite understand it myself, of not being able to fulfil your year 13, first 11 or first 15 reign.
I think it is really hard. Like, some days it's so easy to think, like, what's the point of putting in effort? Like, I have nothing to show for it. I can't play matches. It doesn't feel like I'm doing the proper A-levels, like, stuff like that. And you can't celebrate things like your 18th birthdays in the ways that you were expecting to be able to. But I think, in a way, it makes your goals clearer, because you think you have to achieve things in a slightly different way.
Yeah, I think for me, it's that, obviously, for rugby, it's been a pretty much a... As soon as we're about to play, it's either been a lockdown or we've been put into some sort of tier system. So it's almost been infuriating, the fact that we've almost got there. We've done our preparation. We've had a however long pre-season, eight-month pre-season, and now we still can't manage to just step on the pitch. Obviously, we've got the team forming together now. Got some new Quins boys coming in, and we've obviously formed well as a team. Who knows if we will get a season, but it's still been fun to train, get that exposure. Because obviously the training environment is still fun, but it's not the same as performing every Saturday or Wednesday is.
And I suppose on paper, you guys are both captains of what we would have considered some of the strongest rugby team, hockey teams that we've seen at Gordon School in my 10 years here, definitely on paper. And you know, Hannah, the first 11 had one fixture that we were able to play, winning 2-1. And Chris, obviously you took 60 boys over to Harrow to play a return to rugby touch game there. And so that was sort of just, you know, got the juices flowing, the thought of actually, you know, Hannah, a 2-1 win, you're like, okay, we've got a chance here, we could do really well in this league. Chris as well, seeing it, getting the boys and the coach, getting some good performances out there, thinking actually, yeah, if we could get the opportunity, we could do so, so well. How did you find that? Did you feel that feedback as well from the team and the coaches?
Yeah, I think because we were put into Tier 1 this season, and at the first everyone was like, really?
I think in hockey rather than Tier 1 of the COVID tears.
Yeah. And then we played our first match, so it was so good, and like we barely even trained that much as a team. Mm-hmm. And then I think everyone started to think, oh, like we actually can compete with these big schools. Yeah. And then obviously we haven't had the chance to actually play any more fixtures, and it is quite gutting because it affects the motivation of the team to like keep playing when the matches don't seem like they're going to happen.
Yeah.
So individually, has it made you hungrier to carry on playing when you leave as a result? Do you think, as in terms of you personally, as you're in your careers, because hopefully you're both going to go to university, good universities, and carry on sport. Has it made you hungrier? Is my psychology hat on?
Yeah, I think it almost has used it. At first, obviously, you're angry. You've been stolen all this sport from you. But then you almost take a step back at it and you look at that reflection on now it's time to make you a better player. Use this time when people may not be training, and they may be, oh, we've got a year. Well, I'll start training in the last 2 months, but instead using that time valuably, improving on your weaknesses, increasing your strengths. It's just still making the most of the opportunity, even if it is. And as we said earlier, it's out of our control, but it's making everything that's in our control. If we can do as much with that as possible, then we put ourselves in the best place, whether that is in late season now, or if it is in when we go join to uni, it's getting in that best position possible.
Yeah, because for me, I think, you know, I was always taught, like, you should play the game. Every game is the last one you're going to play. So you should leave everything out on the pitch, you know. And for me, if anything, that brings it even, you know, more home now, that you never know when a season's going to be taken away.
Yeah, I think for me, it made it really clear that, like, going to training and playing matches, it wasn't just something that was a habit. Like, cause you kind of just keep doing it and maybe it feels like a habit. But then once it's taken away, it realises, like, how much it means to you, I think. I haven't played, because the league carried on a bit after the school matches were cancelled. But I was in. Oh yeah, that was a good match.
What else?
Who won that?
Cheeky plug there, sir.
Yeah.
That was my first match back after I was injured, and then I haven't had a chance to play a proper competitive match since then, and it just makes me really, really eager to play, I think.
Just before we move on to, maybe, you know, this podcast is about sort of sport and going to school, but it's also about getting to know you two. So before we go into maybe asking you guys a few more questions and get to know myself and Mr. King a bit more, just we're plugging this year at school, you know, the hashtag Bleed Green, and I'd say you two guys are definitely great role models of that. Just what do you think that hashtag is and could do for the school?
I think for especially the rugby squad, we broke it down at the start of the season, what it meant for us, and we came up with some core values, and we agreed on set terms of what we've been doing, how much work we were going to put in, extra training, and we came up with our phrase of putting in an extra 1%. And it was going to be, everyone's going to be training for our equivalent of our period 7. They're going to be doing their team run throughs, but it's what can we do outside of that which makes us better to the competition. So when we face them, whether it's in a friendly competition, a competitive cut match, whatever it is, that extra work that we've put in is going to make us that much better in comparison to our competition. So what can we do individually or as a team? If it's extra training sessions, if it's an extra gym session, skills session, whatever it is, what can we do to benefit not just us, but the team ourselves? And it was almost fighting for, yeah, you have your individual reap of the benefits, and you're obviously getting better by doing it yourself, but then you're working for the person either side of you as well. And how can you bring through the whole team, not just individually or just for your own ego?
I like that. And you think that sort of captures the bleed green that we talk about at school?
Yeah, I think it's massively, because we had a big emphasis on you're working as a whole team, not just an individual. And we talked about pods of three, which is especially in our formation as well. Mm. And it is almost, we're brothers out there, and that's, we are going to if we're going to go through a loss, if we're going to go through our lows and our highs, we're going to do it together.
Yeah,
but there's nothing that's going to let us break up, and we're going to evaluate it and see how we can improve, even if we do win. But it's that constant sort of growth mindset.
I like that.
Yeah, I think it's really important because it's transferable to every aspect, even if sport isn't your thing, like just the whole Gordon's community. And I think it's just the passion and the pride that drives everything you do, and just ensuring that you do everything you can to the highest possible standard for yourself.
Yeah, I completely agree that the Bleed Green is definitely bigger than sport. It's the whole co-curricular program at Gordon School. What is your passion? What do you want to do? And what do you want to take further than just the classroom? Let's get to know you guys a little bit more. What gets you guys going? What's your tick? What's your get up in the morning? What do you get up and think, right, this is it, it's what I want to do?
Personally, I'd say it's just rugby and the winning. And obviously now we can't win games, but it's winning against yourself. It's that competition from within. It's you're beating your personal bests, getting that much faster, lifting that much extra weight, doing the extra technical work. It's just almost trying to improve. Using every day is like a new opportunity to get better, knowing that maybe your competition isn't doing that. Or if they are, then that's going to make sure you're working even harder. So that's an extra reason to get out of bed.
What do you reckon to one of Mr. King's favourite questions, I think it is if you're a biscuit, what biscuit would you be? Ask Mr. King first. Mr. King, what biscuit are you?
It's just a remote teaching question, sir, at the moment. I'd probably be a bit of a warrior, sir, a bit of a hobnob, sir, so when you dunk it, it just keeps coming back, so it doesn't break.
So I was going to say, Chris Johnson's got to be either a hobnob or a dime bar, something just absolutely solid.
Yeah. Absolutely unbreakable. So every time you dunk it doesn't matter. It just keeps saying, no. dunk me more. That's it.
Chris, biscuit, what would you be?
I don't know, that's a good shout, but I mean, I've been told by many people that I would be a decent jammy dodger. Because You know, on the shell, it's a bit hard, but when you get to know me, we're all right. We're all
nice and soft. Is there a soft core in there, Chris? Is there?
It might be.
And what do you think?
The rugby boys.
I reckon a bit of a chocolate finger, because, you know, you could eat the whole pack and still want more.
Ah, oh, nice. Oh, like that.
Good on the spot. Like that.
Very, very good.
Miss Harrison, you're not getting away with it.
Ah, I thought I got away. Don't you know that? I think in something like, I think it's more maybe of a cracker, but maybe it goes on the biscuit, but like a dry. Good. Yeah. Something like that. I don't know, like a big mini cheddar, like one of those. Just, I don't know why though. Just, I like them, so I think that could be me.
Cheesy.
I don't know. Yeah, cheesy. Probably, yeah, if I'm honest. Nice. Cheesy. I'll take that, Chris. Right, what about sort of mantras for life and sort of things you live by and the standards you set yourself? Any sort of quotes or things that you say, actually, you know, this is me, this is what you go by, and this is what you try and hold yourself accountable to?
I really like a quote that my club coach uses, which is, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Very nice. One that we've seen on the boards around school before as well. Go on, what does it mean to you?
Well, I think it just kind of shows that you're in control of how much you succeed, because you might say that someone else is more talented than you, but you can outwork that, and like, your success isn't prescribed by your, you know, abilities that you've been given. You can work hard at something and, you know, be the best that you can be.
I like that. Kingy, got any quotes you live by?
Yeah, I was a bit of a horrible loser when I was younger, sir. Really bad. Like, I would walk off home and my mum and dad would have to drive down and get me because I'd be a bad loser if I was at cricket or anything like that. So my cricket club always had it as in victory, so in defeat. And that's something I do live by now. So, you know, yes, you'd be humble in victory or defeat, but also it shouldn't change you as a man, and actually you learn from losing. And it took me a while to learn that, really, until I was late teens. But I think from losing, and it's hard to not getting a good test result, to failing, whatever it might be, I think sometimes it's a bigger reward than winning easily the whole time. So as in victory, so in defeat for me.
Very nice. Chris, what have we got?
I think I've got two main ones. The main one I've found recently, especially for, I've been quite interested in the psychological side behind Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Must come from your PE teacher, you know, sports psychology there.
Yeah, good influences. That's what it is. It's that nurture, not nature. So that's what it is.
That's what it is, mate. Can't teach that.
But it's every time you sleep in, every time you miss a workout, you make it that much easier for the opposition to win. I think that's quite a big, that extra 1%, which I find quite easily relatable to the rugby squad itself. It's that extra work that makes you stand out. And then you can win and you can learn, you can't lose. I think that's quite powerful. The fact that, yeah, the result might not have gone your way, but then it's instead of leaving that behind and saying, oh, that was a bad game, you look back and see why that was a bad game, not just leave it in the dust and say, that's enough of that.
Nice. I suppose for me, being able to conquer the challenge in front of you, if that is an exam or a phase of life like it is at the moment in the pandemic, or is it a big cut run that you're going on? But my quote would be, it's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And I think it's just going back to maybe what you said at the start there, Hannah, about being adaptable, being flexible and learning actually in the new normal, which is a phrase that we don't want to use too much, but is true. And yeah, I think that'd be mine, definitely.
Lunchtime, sir. You ran up the Red Road at lunch. What was your mindset running up that hill?
That I knew I was going to come down it at some point, and whatever goes up must come down. So when I got to the top, I knew I was going to turn around and come back down. Yeah, did 10K today, so that's for the kilometre challenge. I mean, I'm low down on the leaderboard, but I'm going to try and make 100K by the 10th of February. Right, another question that I know Mr. King loves to ask is, if you were a superhero, what would your power be?
Well, I think at the moment, I'd like the power to eliminate COVID.
Yeah, good.
That's cool. Politics, that's very good. Kingy, what's yours?
Just a little bit of resilience for me, really. Just the resilience and that ability just to keep that comeback ability. Okay, just that little bit of never be knocked down. I think going back to the hobnob, going back to everything, I find my mantra is just that ability just to, when you are knocked down, to come back. I'm a big Batman fan, as you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's different things we could use. Obviously, yeah, you want to live forever and you want to do all that. But certainly, just that resilience and that when you're knocked down, to come back stronger.
Very nice. Mine's very simple. Teleportation.
Well, maybe so you can be on time to our period six lessons.
Yeah, Friday.
Good, Hannah.
That's edited out straight away. Chris, what about you?
flying, but then you couldn't exactly, you can't use that to your advantage in sport. So I was thinking maybe super speed, because then it's technically not an unfair advantage, but you obviously you're going to be up there. So you can't exactly fly.
Got to go fast, person. Just to go quicker.
Just switch it on.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I've got a lot of time for that. All right, guys, thank you very much for your time. As we slowly start to wrap this first podcast up, it has been a privilege talking to you both. And as I said, I know that you've obviously been dealt a bit of a tough hand with COVID, and at the time that you've come to the pinnacle of your sport, as Mr. King said at Gordon School. But thank you very much for your time today. Mr. King, thank you as well for putting this together with me and having it. Guys, I wish you all the best for the rest of the week and rest of the day. Thank you very, very much. And hopefully this will be something that will carry on for years to come, and you can be the guys that started it all off with myself and Mr. King. Thank you very much.